Oh, that's right. Hang on, Sloopy. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here, and I tell you what, we have a treat for you. You know, we never know what type of situations we're going to find children in, but thank goodness there are different options and different opportunities depending on the case. And I know that even as we have different opportunities, there are not enough spaces for the kids that could benefit from the help. But we do have another option here. Last week we were talking to John De La Howe, and here we are talking to the Boys Farm with Michael Davis. He is the executive director there, and along with him is Brandon White. And Brandon actually was at there and has gone on and graduated, and you know, he's a police officer right here in the city of Greenwood. So looks like things must have turned out okay, Brandon.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Now, Michael Davis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
It's really good to have you here. I would be curious to know, since you grew up in Brazil.
That's right.
That's a long way to come to South Carolina.
That's right. I tell folks I'm really from the South.
Really from the South. Absolutely. So when did you and your family move to the States?
It was early 90s. I was in my first year of high school.
First year of high school. Were you happy about moving to the States?
Not at all.
I wouldn't think so. And where did y'all move to when you came here?
Athens, Georgia.
And why to Athens?
Well, my dad was looking for a college town. He wanted to go back and work on his PhD. So he had checked out Gainesville, Florida, and I think somewhere in North Carolina, and Athens, Georgia, and settled in Athens, Georgia.
Well, Athens is a good party area.
Sure.
Coming from Brazil, what part of Brazil were you actually from?
It's a town called Campinas. It's about an hour drive from São Paulo. Largest city there.
Yes, São Paulo. Mm-hmm. You will be interested to know that we actually had a gal who was a high school student who came and lived with us here in Greenwood. Her aunt had this brilliant idea that she would want to learn the jewelry business. So because Jeff and I don't have any children, she thought it would be wonderful if she came and lived with us. There were only a few stumbling blocks. She spoke no English. She told us her papers were good and that she had a driver's license, of which all of those, nada.
Oh, wow.
So we had quite an experience for a year while she lived with us. And there's a lot of people in Greenwood, I think, who still remember Gabriela.
And yeah. Was she from Brazil? Or?
She was from São Paulo.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
Wow, that's neat.
And her aunt lived in New York and was in the gem business. And that's how we ended up meeting her aunt and getting to know her aunt very well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So anyways, we are here to talk about the Boys Farm here today. Now, as you were growing up, what did you think you wanted to be? When you were still living in Brazil, what did you want to be?
Well, when I was a really young boy, not different from most kids, I wanted to be a pilot.
A pilot,
yes,
okay.
Yes, I did. But, you know, probably by the time I became a teenager, that started changing. I think God started working in my life, and I already could tell that I wanted to help kids because I had been exposed to some pretty difficult situations, seeing kids having to be the grown-ups in the family and having to deal with life's difficulties.
Is that in Brazil?
In Brazil, yes, yes. In some of the shanty towns there in the city that I lived in. You know, I, like a lot of kids, I felt sorry for myself growing up. I had a unique situation growing up, but I felt a little bit too sorry for myself. So when I was really exposed to kids who really had it tough, I think I saw, wow, that's what I need to do. I need to help kids who really have it hard.
Now, were your parents Brazilian or Americans?
Well, it's a complicated story. I'll give you the short of it.
Okay.
The short of it is both of my biological parents were missionary kids, and so they grew up in Brazil, and mm-hmm. so they were Brazilian Americans.
Okay.
They were dual citizens. But my biological father was killed months before I was born. And then my mother remarried 5 years later to a Brazilian. So
she was American. She had dual citizenship.
Right.
And your father was, the father that you knew was Brazilian.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. So that's how they got to come to the States, I guess. because she was an American, had American citizenship.
Right, right. She came back to the United States to be with her parents after my father was killed. And then, so the gentleman she ended up marrying was going to grad school at Texas A&M, and then she met up there. So, yeah, it's a pretty crazy story.
Sounds like one we could spend some time on here, but we don't have time to talk about that today, but sounds interesting anyways.
That's right.
So you got to see a lot of the kids living in Brazil in the real, real poverty that they lived in there.
That's right. I did. So, you know, my dad, the one I call dad, who I grew up with, he used to work in a lot of the churches and a lot of the areas there with these kids. And, you know, you had little boys at 9, 10 years old living in these little huts, and their dads were just gone. You know, they were either drunk or had disappeared or didn't even know who they were. And so at a very young age, these kids were having to deal with a lot of difficulty. And here I was thinking, you know, my life was tough and I didn't get to know my dad and all this, and got to be exposed to this real difficulty. So, but it was just a thought, you know, it was just something that was planted in my brain, in my heart. It's not exactly that I knew that that's what I was going to do. I thought later on when I was in college that I'd be an engineer. So I think it took a while to develop and become what it has become.
Well, it's nice that that was there. You know, when you see on TV today the children in the shantytowns for Syria, and that has to really tug at your heart.
Absolutely. It is pretty devastating.
Yes, and you understand what they're exactly going through. Unless you've actually been in that situation, that's hard to understand, isn't it?
It really is. You can see it in the news and read about it, but until you're on the ground and see it, it's a different experience.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you, of course, ended up as the executive director after, designing cabinets for a while. Is that what I read, that you did some cabinet designing?
Right. That was the that was the last job before moving over here. And that was kind of interesting. I'd actually gone to a mission trip with the director, well, I guess the company owner of that Coleman Cabinets there in Watkinsville, Georgia. And he was a real interesting gentleman. At the time, I was looking for something different. I knew that, you know, I didn't really want to work on computers, doing design work, doing engineering, which was my background at the time. And my mother always told me, you know, you're supposed to work with people. But I've kind of ignored her and said, no, I think I got something else going on in life. But anyway, yeah, it was a great job. I was doing great work, but I knew something was missing. I knew that there was something more there. And my wife and I, we just had one child. We were actually at Lake Hartwell. Mm-hmm. And we were just visiting, and we happened to see a newspaper article about Boys Farm. And that's how it got started.
How about that? You know, you never know how things are going to happen. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Michael Davis and Brandon White. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll be ready to talk about more of what goes on down there at the Boys Farm. Do you know where it is? It's in Newberry. Hey, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right, we're back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, right here in the back with my studio. I have Michael Davis, who is the executive director of Boys Farm down there in Newberry. I have Brandon White, who many of you know went to Lander University, and he became a police officer with Greenwood, the city of Greenwood. So, Brandon, I know you've got to leave, and we thought this would make a bring some reality to what we're talking about here. But you actually ended up, and from about 12 years of age on, you grew up at the Boys Farm.
That's right.
So when you were growing up at the Boys Farm, what was missing in your life? I mean, what, I don't care to get into gory details, but just how you ended up at the Boys Farm.
Well, prior to the Boys Farm, my mom was single.
Okay.
So she raised us. You know, she had alcohol abuse problems. We were poor, didn't mm-hmm. have a lot of money. You know, and I was missing a family-based environment. So I pretty much raised myself. before I came to Boys Farm, and I got into all kinds of trouble. After I came to Boys Farm, I was put into a house with a house parent, you know, a very loving lady, and she raised me until I got old enough to move to another house. Mm-hmm. Once I moved to another house, I had a set of house parents. And it was very different than anything I had ever experienced before, because it was a man and wife situation where they had kids and they treated you like you were their family, and they raised you according to their values. And it's a Christian organization, so, you know, they brought you up with those same Christian ideals. And they taught me a lot of things about workmanship and being a Christian and just being a good person in general, things I would not have learned had I not been to the Boys Farm. So I can say it was a life-changing experience.
But I would imagine, coming from that type of situation and then moving into that, I don't suppose you went most willingly along that way, did you?
I can't say that I did.
I can't say that you did. Okay.
You see, after I was taken from my parents, I was given an option to go to Beaufort, South Carolina, or Newberry. And because Newberry is closer to my hometown, I decided to go to Newberry.
Right.
Little did I know at the time how much of a difference things would be. When I first came there, I had some anger issues. I was, you know, kind of resentful, you know, just like a 12-year-old adolescent would be, who's into a completely new thing, completely different environment. He's not used to that. So it took a while to kind of acclimate to things, and eventually I did, and I came to enjoy it quite a bit.
Now, even when you had the option, I guess, to leave, you wanted to stay. Is that correct? Because didn't you stay there through college? Or
actually, I had more than one option to leave.
More than one option?
Yeah.
They opened the door and were willing to let you out?
Well, you'd think. But before Michael Davis and his wife ever came, mm-hmm. I was given the option to be adopted. And I didn't want to do that. And I wanted to stay there because I liked it so much. When I graduated from high school, I went to college here in Lander, in Greenwood, and I could have stayed gone, but they were the only family I knew. Mike and Rebecca had came, and they took me into their family, so I felt like they were my actual family. So that's, you know, on weekends, that's who I went to visit. On holidays, that's who I went to visit. So that's kind of how that played out.
Now, education-wise, when you went there at age 12, were you behind the curve on where you should be at 12?
I was extremely behind the curve. It was ridiculous. I mean, you know.
Did you go to school before 12?
Yeah. No, I went to school. Well, sometimes.
Yes.
I went to school. I just had all kinds of trouble before I was in Boys Farm school because there was no discipline, mm-hmm. you know. So I never did any homework or anything. So when I came to Boys Farm, I was very, very behind. I was 3 years behind in school. So after.
How did you catch up?
That's a good story. After I got there. I was behind. Mike and Rebecca came along, and they decided that I should do some homeschooling with Rebecca, who was a teacher before she came to Boys Farm. So she actually homeschooled me in some courses and worked out something with a high school to where I could do 2 years at once. So I graduated high school in 3 years instead of 1 year. So it kind of helped catch me up, you know, and that's pretty much how that happened.
Well, that takes a lot to apply yourself that much when you're behind. You know, they say in today's world that if you don't catch them by the third grade with level reading, that they are really going to stay behind the whole rest of their life. So this is a testament, I guess, to Rebecca.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And to you, because if you didn't apply yourself, she could have worked as hard as she wanted, but if you didn't apply yourself. So what would you say to somebody who has problem children? I mean, you know, I know working for the police department, I know you've seen situations. I'm sure you've seen situations maybe that aren't the best out there. What do you say to people that are struggling with how to do the right thing by themselves and by their children?
Well, it is a complicated situation. I have seen a lot of young children who are just completely wild. And the problem is the parents, a lot of times, they just don't care enough to discipline their children. They don't care enough to put forth the effort. But the ones out there who are having some trouble with their children, who are thinking of ways to try to figure out how to make their children better, they just need to give them structure, because children need structure, and they need a good environment. They don't need an environment where people are always getting intoxicated. They just need a good, clean environment. You know, that family structure is so important to a child who needs that kind of thing to grow and to mature.
You know, you've gotten married. I must say that his diamond came from Sharp Facets Gallery. No adding any good stuff here, but did come from Sharp Facets, and you continue to see us here at Sharp Facets. Brandon, what a difference has it made now that you're married, and how you plan to raise your future children and your family life?
A very big difference. You know, had I not went to Boys Farm, I could not see myself marrying the person that I had married. She's just a great person. She's a great girl, and I love her a lot. And, you know, the way I am and the way that they shape me has allowed me to be a better husband to her. And it's just amazing what they've done, what they've done over the years to me, and it helped me grow and to be a person and to be a good husband, which is kind of a hard thing to do sometimes. So you got to dedicate yourself and apply yourself.
So, you know, we have to say in this situation that one person here was, I'm going to use the word saved, in a situation where you've been able to grow and prosper. And, you know, I think that's what we want for all our children futuristically, as, you know, and sometimes, I think sometimes, though, Michael, don't you agree that sometimes we have parents that just don't know how to be parents?
Very much so.
I mean, we have, I think, a generation that doesn't really know the things to do. I mean, we used to have structure, like Brandon said, and then life changed, and we've got two parents working, and we've got all these elements out there, which makes it very difficult. But I tell you what, we're going to let Brandon go. Thank you, Brandon, for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.
All right. This is WCRS. We are going to hear join the news in progress. Don't you go away. We'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We are right here with Michael Davis. He is the executive director down there at the Boys Farm in Newberry. Did you know we had another facility down there? Well, Michael, why don't you tell us how Boys Farm started? It's not an old organization. It's been there since the 60s, but how did it get started?
Well, it was started by Mom and Pop Sheely, is the way everyone knows them. They were a couple from Charleston, very successful in business, and they were pretty young, actually, very young, in their 30s. And they just came to realize they wanted to do more in life than be successful at business.
Than make money?
Right, that's right.
I guess that's what we could say, okay.
That's right. So they actually gotten to the point where they owned a little island, Big Oak Island, there in Charleston. They sold the island, sold their business, and went back to school up in Greenville and started to look for where God was going to lead them. And stumbled upon, I think, a lot of kids in Greenville needing help. And so they said, well, if there's a big need here, why don't we start a children's home? They started looking for some land, found the land there at in Newberry, right outside Newberry. At the time, it was just one little house, but there was, you know, 25 acres or so. They thought it was enough. Let's get started.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it is. You know, it is just, let's just get started and let's just build ourselves a children's home.
it's unreal. I mean, I don't think that I could do that, and I don't know that many people today who would do that, but it's just a pioneering spirit, and it's just one of those good old-fashioned American stories.
Absolutely. You know, thank goodness we have people that wanted to do that and went out and just built it and made it so. That's, I think, what's happened to a lot of today's world. We don't take that we can do this. We're kind of like, well, and we always can come up with reasons why not to do. They actually went out and did it. That is awesome. Now, one of the things that I liked that we were just talking about off the air is all the programs that you have down there. You break things down into programs and actually teach the boys. And I might ask, why are there no girls there?
Well, we're not brave enough for the girls is the true answer.
Well, people always say boys are easier, right?
That's right. Well, that's definitely my perspective. but I have a little experience with the boys, I guess. But no, yeah, that, you know, Boys Farm is our heritage. That's how we were started. And sure, there's definitely a need for girls, too. And there are some homes out there for girls. But I guess we just decided early on that that was going to be our focus, was with boys.
Well, you have a nice farming area out there, right? A big area, 300 acres. But tell us a little bit about, you've got a college advancement program. You've got the CARP program that really interests me. Tell me a little bit about those.
Sure. Well, the CARP program is a character and responsibility program. So we've definitely noticed that that's an area very much lacking in today's society. You know, kids need to know the value of hard work and strong character. So it starts at the most basic level at the home. They need to have basic responsibilities. I mean, we have young kids learning how to wash their own clothes, make up their bed, clean their room, do simple things that I think a lot of families are out there trying to do. But we take it a step further. Instead of hiring a crew to come out and do the work on campus, which would be cheaper than what we do, actually.
Probably,
it
yeah.
would be cheaper. We have the boys integrate into accomplishing those tasks. And so we have staff members who train them and teach them how to do carpentry work, how to do landscaping, how to work on the farm, all the while teaching them responsibilities and really in a therapeutic way, learning to overcome a lot of the difficulties that they have, also learning great skills.
God, that sounds like the old-fashioned way of doing things. I mean, I grew up having to do all these type of things and having to learn how to iron clothes and, you know, wash the dishes and laundry, all that kind of stuff I learned how to do when I was a young girl. So that sounds pretty much the way it used to be, isn't it?
It is. It very much is. And if you go on campus, you will see that element of it. It is a throwback to a bygone era. But we're very intentional about that. It's not that we don't have modern things, too. We do. We have ball fields, and we have gymnasiums, and iPads, and computer labs, and all that stuff, too. But we just think that, you know, this other era is very important also.
It is. Now, how many kids are there with Boys Farm, and what age group are they?
Sure. The age group is from ages 6 on up. There's really no upper limit. We only take boys under the age of 14, but then they can stay longer. And the reason we do that is our motto is building boys rather than mending men. So our niche is working with kids as opposed to rehabilitating younger men or adults.
Now, is this a state agency or how is this financed?
No, we're purely private. And so the vast majority of our funding is just from individuals who send us monthly checks or they go online, that type of thing. We also have a lot of churches and foundations that are very supportive and a lot of businesses. And we have some fundraisers too.
How about former students? I would expect if, like Brandon here, who was just talking about what an experience it was for him, I expect you get good giving back to Boys Farm where they have been helped.
We do. It's actually really neat. We actually have an alum who is on our board of directors, and so one of my bosses is a former boy. So that's kind of neat. We also have on staff our relief house parent is a former boy. He was actually Brandon White's roommate in high school and in college, and they're both really good. And so there's an alumni association, and they're very supportive. In fact, right now they're trying to raise funds to replace the sign, to put a new sign out there, and they're just doing a big fund drive for that. So, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. They're really supportive. Want to reinvest.
Now, as far as since the 1960s this was started, how many boys would you say have been through Boys Farm?
Oh, it's been hundreds. I would say over 800 boys.
Wow. That's tremendous. So they learn how to do these things. You've got the character and responsibility program, and you also have the RAP?
Recreational and Athletic Program, yes.
RAP,
yeah,
okay.
These interesting acronyms.
Yes.
Yeah, so like I said before, we have great facilities, and so we're very intentional. We actually have one of our house parents played college ball. Basketball, and he's in charge of the athletic program. And so every week we spend time with the different major sports teaching kids the basics of those sports. And the idea there is not to necessarily have them become pros.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go on a church picnic or a family outing or something, they can just play the sport and have a good time. You know, a lot of kids these days are are really versed in the...
Thumbs work really well, and that's about it.
That's right. And so it's really good to get these kids outside, and they just absolutely love that. But we also really encourage them to play sports at the recreational leagues and in high school and in middle school. So anyway, that's a big part of it. The other part is recreation. You'd be surprised how much we take for granted just going to the beach, going camping, doing things that a lot of families do growing up that we have such fond memories of, and they really shaped the way we think of our world. A lot of these kids haven't experienced that, and so we're very intentional about that. And it's also a wonderful place to have 300 acres. A lot of that is the woods. We have ponds. We have a little cabin back there. They can go fishing. They can go camping. It's just a wonderful setting for them to really explore their surroundings and explore a little bit more about themselves.
Now, just out of curiosity, do we have any, though, that just don't take to this environment?
We do. We absolutely do. And they're just as important. And I'm glad you asked that question, because just this week I've been on the phone with a young man who is currently in jail. And he's been calling me. I've been talking to him every week for about 6 months now. And he's struggling. So, you know, it's not 100% success rate. That's absolutely right. But there is a very high success rate. But those who don't succeed, at least temporarily, or what it appears to be the case for us, we're still invested in them and we still love them and we don't just want to desert them.
Well, this is some good information. You know, up here in Greenwood, we don't hear that much about the Boys Farm. But and actually, it was Brandon who gave us your number so we could get in touch and find out more about the Boys Farm, which is down there in Newberry. Hey, right now, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after these words.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Hey, I'm Ann Eller, right back here with you on WCRS. That's 1450 AM. Hey, by the way, we are going to be doing a podcast, and we'll have a video on the website. That's WCRS1450AM.net. And, of course, let's see, I understand Brandon's been getting some calls here this afternoon. He's become Mr. Popular after being on the radio. Thanks for coming on here this afternoon, Brandon. So we'd be glad to get that information out. But, Michael, you know, one of the things I think as a house parent, having known some that become house parents, when their children grow up, do they still continue to stay? Or what is the cycle?
Right. So I've been at Boys Farm 10 years, so I guess I haven't been there quite long enough, although I guess I'm part of that cycle.
Yeah.
Because we started off as house parents, my wife and I. When we first joined Boys Farm, we had one child.
And how many do you have now?
We now have six. So we have our own cottage.
Yes, exactly.
So we kind of grew out of it. But yes, at Boys Farm, well, let me first speak to the national trend. The national trend, I think, is 8 months. House parents burn out. It's very difficult.
Well, I imagine, yeah.
It can be a very difficult job. So at Boys Farm, we've done very well. I think our average is 3 years. And part of that is because people like myself have come along and then, you know, we stay 4 years and then we move up or we move sideways or something like that.
Sure.
But what I've noticed at Boys Farm is there is just a really strong sense of commitment and community in ministry. You know, people who are there, they're doing it because they have a calling. It's not just a job. And so they really want to stay involved and stay connected. We actually started off at House Parents for 4 years, and then I worked in the development side for about a year and a half, and then actually went up to Virginia and worked at a boys' home there. And while we were up in Virginia for the 2 years we were there, we had several boys, former boys, who came up and spent Christmas with us and so forth. And that's not unique to my situation. That's true for a lot of the house parents.
I guess you know what you're saying is kids want that connection, don't they?
They do. They really do.
And if they can't have it with their, I'll say, their real biological family, then they're going to form that bond with someone if there's someone there.
That's absolutely right. And we fully recognize that at Boys Farm, which is why we really work with the families. We require them to do home visits every month, and we really want to push towards reunification and making that happen. But if there's a case like Brandon, and there's plenty of others, where that's just not possible, then we're there and we're available and ready for that.
So really, the objective is to get the kids back connected with their own real family.
It is, because 30, 40 years from now, that's the most likely big connection. And not just then, but 5, 10 years also in between. So, absolutely.
So you have monthly they have monthly visits with their family. What else do you do to try to, because sometimes it's a parenting it's a dearth of knowledge. A parent doesn't know how to do this. So how can you affect that?
Yeah, it's a growing process that I'll be honest, it's difficult. There's no question about it. But some of the little things that we do is, you know, we do weekly phone calls, and we always start off with the house parents talking to the biological parents about how their child is doing and what's going on, and also asking them personal questions, how they're doing, just, you know, relating and connecting with people. That's the best way to influence them, is if they trust you.
Sure.
So we build that trust, and then on a monthly basis, kind of an informal counseling, parenting tips, and we're actually considering starting some little training sessions through Facebook and maybe even Twitter, that one of our house parents who's a professional parent wants to start working on. So anyway, there's little things like that we can do.
Well, there certainly is. There's a lot of available knowledge out there, but getting it related to yourself as a parent and figuring out how to take that knowledge and do something with it isn't that easy.
It's not. It really isn't. It really isn't.
So programs like the Boys Farm certainly are invaluable for kids. You know, we were looking at some figures here. This is South Carolina welfare information. South Carolina ranks 46th in the overall well-being of children in the 2007 Kids Count State Profiles of Child Well-Being. That's pretty bad.
It is. And I think we're improving, and there's a lot of work that still needs to be done.
Yeah. And let's see, there were almost 17,000 reports of child abuse and neglect. There are 48, and I'm not sure whether this was all from 2007, but almost 5,000 children in foster care and nearly 54,000 being raised by grandparents.
Yes, we do see that a lot.
As a parent, to have to raise your, I mean, thank God we have these grandparents out here, but that's hard. That is so hard for the grandparents today, because the children are different than they were 20 years ago when they were raising them. The world is different, and they expected to be able to sit down and just take it easy.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and you're absolutely right. Thank God for them. They are very amazing.
They are a godsend, yeah.
They really are. And, you know, those statistics, one that I don't know is specifically mentioned there, but the graduation rate of college kids who are in foster care, I believe it's below 1%. And, you know,
that's a
huge predictor of success. And so that is just unacceptable. And that's one thing, you know, we didn't talk about it, but our college advancement program is very important to us.
Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and Brandon is a great example of that.
He just worked out to be a perfect one to bring on the show here
today.
He lives here in Greenwood, so that was perfect, too.
That did work out really well.
But tell us about the college advancement program.
Well, the way it works is basically it starts in 10th grade. That's the first phase. And so kids who want to get involved in it and are looking long-term, we have certain requirements for them. You know, they need to start taking the SAT, the ASVAB for the military test. They need to open a bank account, get a driver's license, get a job, start.
You mean do all the things that adults have to do.
Absolutely, but that are often put off until college, or sometimes after college for some kids, or just when they really hit the road. So, but we want to start that kind of early on and say, okay, you need to start thinking about these things in 10th grade. And so we work them through that, and then by the time they're in 12th grade, they're ready. They know which college they want to go to. They know exactly the direction that they have.
Yeah, but then we got to pay for it.
That's right,
yes.
And they need help with that.
Yes.
And that's where we also help them with scholarships and grants and different things like that. Finding those resources out there, but also we help them ourselves with that. So that's very important. Then the other thing is having a place to call home. That's so critical, and we take that for granted. You know, that's a big part of keeping kids in college, because you can get in, But what's going to happen after that first hard semester, second hard, you know? You need that support, and you need that place to come back on the holidays or come on the weekends and help you through those difficult situations. And Brandon, I think he won't mind too much me saying this, but he was one of those who the first semester, he really struggled, not so much academically, but just emotionally. You know, he had some issues going on, and I remember him calling me one day and just sobbing on the phone. He just needed someone to talk to him, to calm him down and say, it's going to be okay, you're going to move forward.
Sure. So, and I would think that having that relationship makes it, easier to move forward in getting through school. Now, since we're almost out of time, I guess probably since you're a private organization, you probably survive on a lot of donations coming in to help, whether it's money or grants or futuristic making endowments for Boys Farm.
We do. All of those things are huge. The biggest, 65% of all our donations come from just small checks, donations from people. So our website is boysfarm.org. That's one way you can donate. You can also call us at 803-276-5910, and we can help make that happen. And absolutely, we definitely need all the help we can get.
Now, just out of curiosity, if somebody wanted to come down and see Boys Farm and see what it's about, can they call and will you give them a tour to let them see what's going on?
Absolutely. We're an open campus. They can come anytime they want. If they want an actual tour, probably a phone call would be best because then we can set it up. And yeah, I mean, it is beautiful. We have pastures with cattle and horses and sheep and goats, and we have ball fields and like I said, forests and ponds and, you know.
And where exactly is it? We say it's in Newberry, but where exactly is the Boys Farm?
It's on Highway 121, so it's just a few miles outside of Newberry on Highway 121 heading towards Saluda or Greenwood.
Is that where you come around the corner there to come up 34?
Yeah, there's a little V there where 121 and 34 meet. We're right there on that V.
Well, that's very interesting because I go by that all the time and I go, Boys Farm. I actually thought the Boys Farm was a farm.
Well, there you go. That's why we need a new sign.
Actually, and wasn't this actually started? Did I read this that the Boys Farm was started, they started raising violets or something or pansies?
African violets, yes. That's right.
And
that's
he made the choice he could only raise one or the other, right?
Right, violets or boys.
Yeah, there you go. And that was W.D. Sheely Jr., which is Pop and Mama Sheely. So that's how it started, right?
That's right.
I know exactly where you're at. The next time I'm on my way to Columbia or back, I'm going to have to stop by and see you, Michael.
Please do. That'll be great.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming out here today. We didn't get a lot of time to talk beforehand, but we covered a lot of ground right here live on the radio. Thanks so much for coming up.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thanks, Brandon, for making the connection.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. I'll be back in the morning with the I Love Ann Show. Bye-bye.